Of education. Let's do it.
What good is a radio show if it can't teach you about useless things?
Here, I've redorculated.
Open your minds and unzip your pants, because it's time for Bone of Education.
All right, Mike, today we're going to learn about Legos, and specifically we're going to learn about how this company came to be. And I will tell you, believe it or not, Legos, the entire success of Legos may have in part been built on the thing that you get sometimes when you order something from a company and they throw in a couple little samples of product, or they throw something else in there. We may not have had Legos were it not for a company doing that. I'll explain in a moment. But let's first talk about Ole Kirk Christensen.
Oh, my guy.
Ole Kirk Christensen was a carpenter from Billund, Denmark. In 1916, Christensen bought the Billund Woodworking and Carpentry Shop with money he had saved up. During the 20s, the business was focused on restoring and developing new buildings. They produced household goods for the local community. You will note, none of what I just said involves the word toys or blocks, because they didn't make those things then. They were making home furnishings and things like ladders and ironing boards and things like that. Unfortunately, they had an accident in 1924 where his sons, Carl George and Gottfried, accidentally caused a fire to break out after they were tinkering with some wood shavings that were left over in the bottom of the floor from the woodworking factory. The workshop and the family home burned down, but they rebuilt. They decided to actually expand. And by the 1930s, they were back up and running and doing great. They had a good workforce. They had people working for them, all that stuff. But in the 30s, Ole Kirk Christensen's business suffered due to this thing called the Great Depression, Mike. It was going on in Denmark as well. It was going all over the world. The drop in farming prices resulted in many of his customers not being able to afford his products. So he had to lay off staff. 1932, he only had 7 employees. And a little bit later on that year, he got to a point where he had to fire his last employee. And that was it for him. He decided, I need to adjust my business. What is it that people will want? So instead of making, you know, ladders and very sturdy, nice products like that, he worked on making cheaper wooden products, which included small wooden toys. His business, though, still slipped into bankruptcy, and his siblings, who were loaning him money, said, can you stop making toys? Can you just end this? And he said, no, I know I can make this business work. So he officially founded a toy company in 1932. He didn't even have a name for it, but he started selling these toys, started working. So he came up with a name. The name was Lego. It was derived from a Danish phrase called leg godt, which means to play well. He made toys such as yo-yos, pull-along animals, and trucks. Well, while doing that, he started finding that kids really enjoyed these products, and he was actually pretty good at it. So he decided to continue to expand. And in 1947, you know, he's made it back. He's got this toy company. He saw that the place they were going was plastic. Wooden toys were going to become old-fashioned. He wanted to stay ahead of the curve. So he bought an injection plastic molding machine to start making these plastic toys. Now, this machine was so expensive, Mike, it cost more than twice the previous year's profits. So he invested a ton of his money into building, into getting this machine. But he was still going to make little yo-yos and pull-along trucks and all that
kind
of stuff.
Dolan family is very offended by this, by the way.
Yes, right. He invested a ton of his own money to make this happen. Well, the machine comes, they're unpackaging it, and this company had also worked with a company in the UK that had made these little self-locking toy bricks called Kiddycraft. They included a sample of the Kiddycraft bricks with the big molding machine and said, here you go, this is something one of our other customers makes with this machine. He liked this so much, he said, I think I could make a version of this, and he kind of ripped them off. He made plastic bricks that out of this plastic molding machine that were similar to the Kiddycraft bricks you could get in the UK. And those started selling. He started calling them automatic binding bricks. They were originally made out of cellulose acetate type of plastic. And they were similar to traditional stackable blocks of the time. But the problem was, you'd stack them on top of each other and they'd kind of stay together. But if you like picked it up and tipped it over, they'd all fall off. They didn't stick together. They didn't fully lock into place. Well, it was in 1950 that Ole Kirk's son, Gottfried, the one who set the workshop on fire, he actually found a frictional material called acronatyl butadiene styrene, ABS, we'll call it, because that's a lot easier to say. ABS achieved the necessary clutch power to hold the bricks together. And he had this breakthrough, actually. He started working on this in 1950, but it wasn't until 1958 when they figured out how to do this. They patented it in Copenhagen, and they said, all right, we now have bricks that will stick together and stay in place. So this took, like I said, he started the company in 1932. 1958 is when they figured out how to make the blocks lock in place. And that is the Legos that we now know today. Sadly, though, just a couple months after that patent happened, Ole Christensen experienced a heart attack and died at the age of 66.
Oh.
But he did get to see the patent happen. His son, Gottfried, took over the company and then continued making these automatic binding bricks that locked into place. And that is when Lego took off and became what we know it is today. They developed this thing called the System of Play that is now everything that modern Lego is built off of, which says that, you know, you have to make the best product possible. They wanted everything to always be able to be interchanged, so every Lego brick can be used with any other Lego brick. They have all these different rules about that to make sure that that always happens. But that's how long it took them to get to the point where they finally figured out, what if we could lock these things together and they would stay in place? To date, Mike, do you want to take a guess at how many Lego bricks have been produced?
Billions.
600 billion as of 2015. So they will, at some point, I'm guessing before you and I pass, they will cross over a trillion Lego bricks produced. Also, the largest model ever created out of Lego bricks was in May of 2013. It was a one-to-one scale of an X-Wing fighter from Star Wars. So again, like a full-size replica made out of over 5 million Lego bricks. They also had made a 112-foot tower and a 2.5-mile railway. But the thing I found most fascinating, Mike, was they have this Lego Technic bricks that they use now that are a little more advanced. You can make shapes that are a little more fluid, not as square. They made a full-size Bugatti Chiron, like we were talking about the Bugatti cars, that actually drove. And it was powered by the motors that they put in these Lego Technic sets. They put like 2,000 of them together. They built a full-size replica. 90% of the car was built out of Legos. They actually put it on a test track, and it drove down the test track. But it is a full-size Lego model of a Bugatti Chiron. So, yeah, they've obviously gone very far from just making little blocks in a guy's woodworking shop back in the day.
Very good, T-Bone. I appreciate it.
Yep.